Glory to God. He is, what a God he is. Amen. Oh boy. He is wonderful. He's awesome. He's marvelous. Glorious. Amen. He is, oh boy. What would we do without God? Man, yeah, in this time especially. You know, you can be seated, but Sarah, you know, you got some kind of revelation knowledge, I think, last week. Could you, you know what you told me when we were tossing a balloon? Could you tell everybody that? What?
The clutter and the collection.
Yes, You want to give her a microphone, though.
Clutter and collection, and while I was sitting here, it just come to me that and clutter and collection brings fear, will start fear, even if you're born again. Yeah. And I was thinking about, as born again people, when we start collecting what they're saying on TV and people that we talk to and all of these different things, it brings the clutter. And then fear comes in, although we know that we shouldn't be fearful. Yeah. But the collection brings the clutter, and then comes the fear.
Yeah, I just thought that was so good. She was telling me when she tossed a balloon. We were tossing a balloon. Yeah, that was really good. Does anybody else have any a testimony or anything? Just since that was sudden that I...
I got one.
Okay. Oh, not you. No, no. Oh, give.
The car I had before this last one, I leased it, and I just got a check. I got a different car March 5th. Yeah. And I just got a check, refund check for $319.
Yeah.
And that's the second refund check I've gotten in the last month. Actually, the third, because one was 84 cents.
Well, 84 cents is 84 cents. See, and that's gifts and surprises or checks in the mail. Yeah, you just, you never know. Yeah, we had $20 taken off of our utility bill. You know, I like, gee.
Awesome. Should I tell about Adia?
Sure.
Oh, last week... Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a real miracle. But our two granddaughters came out, and our youngest son, and Ron was showing Rusty how to drive the boat since we'd gotten a boat. And Avia is 9, and she's very athletic. She reminds me of Alicia, actually. She does cartwheels everywhere. She does splits. She's jumping hurdles. She's working with the guys if they're out there building a shed or doing this. She's picking up nails. She's holding boards. She's just doing everything. Well, Harlow and I had just gotten in the water, and she crawled on the boat with them and never gave it a thought, just decided she would jump from the boat onto the dock. Knowing she could do it. Well, she jumped up. She forgot the lift was there. And I was in the water. Ron and Rusty saw her. And she hit the top of her head just hard and went straight down. I mean, she'd have made the jump easy. But there's not much room between the dock and the boat. And as far as I'm concerned, those angels just kept her from hitting her face when there's only this much room.
Yeah.
Because she could have knocked her eye out. She could have busted her teeth. She could have, and thank God we were all down there, because she'd have probably been unconscious if we wouldn't have been there, which, of course, you know, we wouldn't ever let anybody be down there like that. But God is such a good God. You got to get to know him. Yeah. That's why we do what our pastors have said. We plead the blood over our children, our grandchildren, in the morning, in the night, all day long, whatever. I mean, you talk to God all day long, because he's there for you. He's working when he don't know. We don't know he's working. He's always for us. He's never against us. It's only the enemy that's against us, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But my God, my God, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I got my own little mini miracle this week. I got a letter from my daughter. And those of you that don't know, I don't hear from her. And I got a letter in the mail from her this week.
Wow. That's cool.
And it says, I want you to write, Mom, only once in a while.
Only once in a while.
I sent her 4 cards for her birthday, so I kind of overwhelmed her.
Oh, gosh.
She says, I still love you. And I thank you for the cards. And she drew me a picture, and she's got me and Mommy dancing.
Aww.
With 2 flowers and 29 cards on her cake. But this to me is a miracle.
Yeah.
Yes. That didn't happen before. Now, God's restoring my family, and I praise Him for that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. Amen. We need to encourage each other once in a while with that. Yeah. God is so good. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings, so you can pass out the envelopes. And so I'm just going to go back to Proverbs 3. So I understand school's going to start. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, one of the scriptures stand on a lot, and it's just, well, you know, I'm going to read a little more than that, I think. Yeah, I'm just going to read Proverbs 3 from the beginning, not the whole thing, but it says, my son or daughter, don't forget my law, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Now just think, length of days. Now people think length of days is like a long, like you get old. No, length of days means that you're going to have enough time in a day, and that the length of the day seems longer than it should. And you're going to get done what you wanted to get done. Because look, and then years of a life, because they're separated there. Years of a life, and that those years of a life are going to be worth living. Amen. Because you know what? How many people are there that it's not worth living?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Anybody else agree? I mean, think. Yeah. Think about it. And tranquility. Now, that would be peace. Oh, my goodness. Inward peace, outward peace, and continuing peace through old age until death. These shall they add to you. Well, you got to say, how do you get that again? Don't forget His teaching, God's teaching, and keep His commands. And then it says, don't let mercy. In the King James, I like it better, and truth forsake you. You know, sometimes people look at people, and I never did like that since I was a little girl. And they say, well, they know to know better. They could do that. Blah, blah, blah. And then I see those people doing the same thing. And they don't catch that they're doing it. And, you know, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we just have to look and say, wait a minute. We've all done those things. We're all kind of the same. Honest to God, we are. We're all the same. And that's why it says, that's why I'm saying, don't let mercy. God is merciful. Have you ever heard Kenneth Copeland talk about Chesed? It's spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed, but it's said, and it's loving kindness. Oh my gosh, his loving kindness. You even look in the Old Testament, like in Proverbs 103. I mean, Psalms 103. And you look at the what he wrote. I mean, my goodness. He was so merciful. Don't shut out. Shut out the hatred. Shut out the selfishness. That's true. I mean, that is huge. Even at that wedding, you know what marriage is? It's called unselfishness. Otherwise, it doesn't last at all. And, well, we'll go there and see how many men are here. And sometimes the woman is expected to be more unselfish than the man. But you know what? It is. If there's selfishness in it, it doesn't work very good. And truth. Okay, what did they say? Let not mercy and kindness and hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood. And that would be you being a hypocrite when you don't see what you do, what you accuse others of. That's hypocritical. Okay, and we've all, you know what? And you might even call somebody hypocritical when they're just kind of naive. I've seen that too. Well, I've seen it in myself. I'm going, oh my gosh, I was doing that too. And I go, oh my gosh. You know, and it says, cover your face. One of the Proverbs says, you cover your face when you realize you've done something. You know what I mean? Okay. Bind them about your neck. Bind what about your neck? Mercy and kindness and truth. You bind them on your neck. Well, see, they used to do that, you know, on the forehead and all that stuff. Write them, but this is write them on the table of your heart. Write mercy and truth and kindness. Don't forsake them. And write them on the table of you know what? When you do that, then you're going to find favor. Find favor with a job. Find favor with your spouse. Find favor with your kids. Find favor with finances. Find favor all over the place. Amen? Yeah. So you're going to find favor. You're going to find good understanding. You're going to find high esteem in the sight of God, which is the most important, and of men. Then it says, lean on. Trust in and be confident in the Lord. That's that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right? With all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. You know, and a lot of times we do. And you can't, you just gotta. I just like to be analyzing myself and saying, am I doing this in my regular life? See, all this is truth. He's trying to get us so that we've got finances, we've got what we need. He's trying to give us everything. But we've got to be honest with ourselves when we read this stuff. Lean on him. Trust in him. Something happens. You know? What do? Panic? Do you really lean on him and trust in him? Okay, lean on, trust in, and be confident. Confidence, you know, the word confidence actually means faith. Have faith in the Lord with all your heart and your mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. Then in all your ways, you know what? You say, Lord, should I do this or should I not do this? Lord, should I buy this or should I not buy this? Lord, what path am I to take? What am I supposed to teach tonight? What are you supposed to do here? What are you supposed to do there? How should I handle this situation? In all your ways, not what you think, recognize and acknowledge him. You know what? And if you acknowledge him and ask him, he will direct and make straight and plain your path. And don't be so wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Oh, I'm so wise. No, you know, without God, we're nothing. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. I mean, oh my God, God, you led me the right way. I can tell you led me the right way. You know what? And give him the honor and glory and don't think you're hot stuff. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear him. I mean, I know that same word fear, but there, but you know what it means. You have such a fear of him that, well, I hope so. If you would see him walk in right now, we'd all go, oh Lord, like, you know. fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. You know what? This is what I like right here. It shall be, when you turn, do that, all that before, it is going to be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. You know what I put above that? It's a drink to your bones. Doing all that, it's a drink to your bones. Now, really, and I'm going to end with this one. Honor the Lord with this, with your capital and sufficiency. From righteous labors, not from cheating, and with the first fruits of all of your income or your increase. You know what? You know, that's one thing. Is anybody listening anymore? I know Dr. Dufresne always used to say when he would get a present, so the rubber meets the road, I got to give. No. They gave me a rubber meets the road notebook to take notes, and it looks like rubber. Did you two have a bet on that? No. Okay. Honor the Lord. If not, put it in the offering. No. Honor the Lord with your capital or with your substance. You know, anything extra you get, honor the Lord with it. And your sufficiency from righteous labors. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your storage places, your cupboards and all this stuff, the storage places, your bank account will be filled with plenty. And your vats will be overflowing with new wine. You know what? You're bringing meat into the house. And like it says in Malachi, and you actually have revelation, more revelation knowledge when you're a giver. Amen. Well, that's it. Okay, let's receive it. But, you know, it's one thing to read Proverbs every day, but then to just really meditate on some of it too. Boy, especially the first part of Proverbs. Oh. So good. Thank you. Okay. Oh, do we have a song? Or be seated. We're going to, now tonight, we're going to go back to the angels thing. But this more or less has what your angels do. So Hebrews 1, verse 7, and it says, of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So, I mean, I'll tell you, when they're seeing that fire and all that stuff and alien whatever in the sky, those are angels. the King, or that was the King James, that's verse 7, Hebrews 1, verse 7. He makes them a flame of fire. In the Amplified, it says, referring to the angels, he said, God, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire. And then verse 14. Oops. turn the page. Okay. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. That's what the angels are for people who are, you know what, but ahead of time, angels have helped people when they weren't saved yet. I've seen it. Like that one guy that worked at Hormel's and worked with Ken and, do you know that he and his wife actually got saved by a Jehovah Witness track? it was the Latter-day Saints. Maybe it was, it was Mormon. Okay. Anyway, they had it, and I immediately, it just, the Lord, he'll use anything. And they had to, two trucks, or they had a huge truckload, like they rented a truck to get rid of all their pornography, videos, and all of their booze and drugs. And just like that, well, he talked about an incident that when he was up in the Colorado mountains with a whole bunch of other people in a bus. I think I've told you this before. He talked about it. He was driving, but they were all on drugs and drinking. And he said the brakes went out and they were going down the mountain and he had no control. And he knew it even though it was half high. And he said it was a miracle. A plain miracle. That they even stopped then without getting in a car accident when they got to the bottom. So, you know what? So, you know, the angels are there even. And there's somebody praying for him. Well, there were people praying for him, his work co-workers at Hormel's. We were even praying for him. Okay, now, all right. Now, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and he's the express image of God's person. He is the Word of God in person. Express image of God's Word in human form. That was Jesus. But Jesus is, you know, all that talks about in Hebrews, people get kind of mixed up. Have you ever read Hebrews 1? And Jesus is greater than the angels. In power and authority, and he got it by inheritance and conquest. And because he obeyed God the Father, he's seated at his own right hand. But guess who else is?
Hey!
We are. And honestly, we are above the angels. But, I mean, we're joint heirs with Christ. Angels are our servants. And they're ministering spirits to minister for the heirs of salvation. Even before you're saved sometimes. And they're sent to work for us and do supernatural things that we can't do. And they're going to be very prominent now in this, right now. Right now, angels. Whoa. So, the angelic ministry, though, is received and activated by believing the promises of God. God has given everything he's given in his word, all of them, including those pertaining to angelic ministries, are yes and for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. That's in Corinthians. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are for us. Yes and amen. There's no doubt about them. You don't even have to pray about it. You, they're for you, period. Healing's for you. Amen. You don't say, oh, Lord, please heal me. Nope. He already has. So, angels, the way we, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay. Matthew 8:37. Put that up there. Matthew 8:37. Oops, I got the wrong scripture. Matthew 5. Sorry about that. 5:37. There was no 37 and 8. You know, and this shows us where our mouth should be going. I'll read out of, it's okay if you got the Amplified up there, just keep it up. I'm going to read the King James, you just listen. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Oh my goodness. Yep. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. Ooh-hoo, when you start doing a lot of talking, sometimes evil comes. So it says in the Amplified, let your yes be simply yes, and your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Eek. Okay, now get ready, Matthew 12, verse 34. Now, we are supposed to speak God's will and not bring foolish words in our conversation. I'm preaching to myself here too. We are supposed to speak God's will. And sometimes we're speaking all the problem, all the time. And you know what? It's enhancing it. And not bring foolish words in our conversation. Okay, so Matthew 12, verse 34. Anybody been watching Southwest Believers Convention?
Yep.
Some, I have. Anyway, then it says, O generation. You know what? Let's start with verse 33. Right? You know, right before that, it talks about anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven. Whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven him. Neither in this world or in the world to come. Yeah. Woo! That's pretty heavy stuff there.
It is.
Wow. Okay, so either make the tree good. Your tree, let's say, is your tongue. Either make the tree good, either make your tongue good, and your fruit good, or else make your tongue corrupt, and your fruit will be corrupt. For the tree, the tongue, is known by the fruit that comes out of it. Yeah. Oh my. And sweet, sweet Jesus, he said, oh, you generation of vipers, you snakes, and otherwise. For how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, let's go on. A good man, out of the good treasure or deposit. You know, like you deposit money in the bank. You know, there's a treasure in your heart. And what you're depositing in there, a good man out of the good deposit of your heart is going to bring good things. And an evil man out of the evil deposit or treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, you know what? Idle words mean are non-working words. That's what it means. Idle, just like you're idle, you know. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, some people think that, now this is what I think. I don't know, but I felt like, okay, in the day of judgment, you know, when people think, well, that's off, and you know, they're keeping track of all these idle words that every person says. There has to be zillions of them. On the day of judgment, God's going to say, you said, you said, you said, you said, you said. No, you know what happens, though? When you start saying things, you start gossiping, and you start doing all these things and coming against and doing all these things, pretty soon The devil hears it because the familiar spirits are always around and they're listening. And what happens is judgment falls on you. Not from God. The devil can do it. And then people wonder, why did I get sick? Why did this happen? Why did I not have money? I mean, it's not every case. But I'm not trying to put, but there is something that you may have said. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. I've even heard some preachers say it could happen a year later and you totally forgot what you did. Woo, that's heavy stuff. But see, when stuff happens, a lot of times it's because of the words we have said. And we might have forgotten all about them. We could ask the Holy Ghost. You know, it just pays. Just speak God's word. For by your words, you are going to be justified. Another one is like you're in a courtroom. And what do you, if you're justified, you are acquitted, right? Yeah. You are acquitted in the courtroom. He says, okay, you know what? You're okay. And by your words, you will be condemned or sentenced. And see, sometimes a sentence comes against us and we don't even know why it's happening. Yeah. Or it could happen here or there, or, you know, think back. The Holy Ghost, if you truly repent, the Holy Ghost will actually bring it to your mind without condemnation. There is no condemnation. But idle words, now you know, are non-working ones. And we're going to be held accountable for words that don't work for us. Even that. So, you know what? Jesus placed so much importance on words that come out of our mouth. Why? Is because he loves us. And because words that we speak out of our mouth get in our spirit. You know, that's, I'm very guilty of that too. Sometimes it just depends. You know, you can get all excited or not excited nice way, but upset about something, and then all this stuff comes out, right? Or in an argument with someone. Now that I never, even as a, I'll just tell you this, as a good Catholic girl, I learned, you know, when something happens, you know, I never swore, never. My mama, but anyway, and I praise God for that. But I remember, and I first became a Christian. And man, I had a close call in Omaha, really close call. This guy almost hit me. And I went, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Because that's what you would do as a Catholic. I went, I mean, Jesus. And I'm sure he was laughing. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, I made myself from the time I was a little girl. And, you know, I used to pray. This was weird, too, because I'd pray all the way. I'd use the back alleys to go to school and pray, God, please let people help like me. And go in the back alleys. And then I would be saying all those Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, blah, 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 or whatever we learned as prayers, because that's all I knew. Or the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, you know, the Apostles' Creed, and that type of thing, because I wanted to pray. But you know what? All those times, God looks at the heart. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
He looks at your heart.
That's right.
Anyway, he does place importance, you know, that what you say gets in your heart. Now, okay, hey, yeah, let's go to Romans 10, verse 8. Well, let me look. King James first. Romans 10, 8. Come on. Okay. You know what? Start at verse 6. It says, but the righteousness, which is of faith, speaks this way, on this wise. You can't say in your heart, oh, somebody ascend up into heaven and to bring Christ down from above. Or who's going to descend into the deep to bring Christ again from the dead? But you know why? Because you know where the word, now, this is talking to born again people.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The word is near you.
Yeah.
It's between your nose.
Hey.
And your chin. The word is nigh, even in your mouth. And what's in your mouth goes in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, notice this. We are a word of faith. I am the word of faith. I don't want to call us a camp, but we are. That's I like it. That's where I see the most success with everything. Okay, notice God's word is, now notice God's word is called the word of faith. See, and a lot of times they've made all those blab it and grab it and say it and get it. Okay, but the word of faith, but that's because it builds faith. When you say the word, it causes faith to come into the hearts of those who are open to it. Amen?
Amen.
But you have to confess it. You got to say it out loud for it to work. A lot of times people, you know, don't make that clear and they say these confessions and so they just read them. And don't say them. You got to say it. You have to say what goes in your here. It has to hear it. Your spirit is alive and it has to hear it. Okay. So it says, the word is in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. And he said that what he's saying here too is that the word is in your mouth first. There's no way you can get it to your heart unless you say it with your mouth out loud.
Yeah.
And I remember Charles Capp said, you know what? You know, because we always say, hey, you know, don't just make those blah, blah, blah confessions. I'm the head, not tail, blah, 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 blah. Great is he that's in me. Yeah. He's, you know, and I mean, I'm always saying, but you know what? You might have to start out that way.
Yeah.
By saying it, but say it a little slower than I'm doing. And greater is he, and think, what am I saying? Greater is he. And pretty soon it becomes revelation knowledge. You know, I didn't know any better. I just heard Kenneth Hagin way back in the 80s say that that we should say Ephesians 1, 19 through 23 and Ephesians 3 and Colossians, you know, every single day, and especially Ephesians 1, because you'll begin to get revelation knowledge. So I just said them. But you know what? By saying them, saying it for almost 40 years now, more than that, it took probably, if I would have just known more than I know about how to do stuff or been able to go to Bible college or totally... I had to self-taught teach myself a lot, although I took some Rhema courses and I took another course from somebody who, well, never mind. but I studied and studied and studied and read all of Kenneth Hagin's books. But I would have said it slower or meditated on it. But by saying it over and over and over, maybe within like 10 years, or 15, I started to get revelation of it.
Wow.
Like, say, wait a minute, he's talking about that resurrection power is inside of us.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to emphasize that to people.
Yeah.
Because the resurrection, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. And that's Romans 8:11. But I mean that one too. That's a good healing scripture. But the more, you know, and it took me a while, but you know, meditate on stuff or take it easy, take it slow. Let's go, gang, go. Truly cool. So the word is in your mouth first. It's you're bound to just say those scriptures, and pretty soon those things, when they get revelation, they go whoosh, down in your heart.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 30:14. You know what? And I just listen to me. It says, but the word is very nigh to you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Even in Deuteronomy, Jesus said that already. So see, as you speak words out loud, they are carried down into your inner being, into your spirit. And that's why Jesus said in verse 37, by your words, you're going to get acquitted or you're going to get sentenced by the devil. So now, if words are that important, you know, we'd better take heed, because they are doing something. Now, they'll work for us on the outside and communicate thoughts to others, right? I mean, we've got to use words, right? I mean, at your work and all these places, you know. But they're also working on the inside, building an image in your spirit. And you know, you've heard Jesse talk a lot about that. But, okay, well, Proverbs 27:19. You can put that up there. The thing about it is, and I've seen it in my own life, the more you talk about the sickness that's plaguing you, the more it's going to be there.
Yeah. That's right.
The more the symptoms are there.
Yeah.
You know what? The more you talk about your defeat. Yeah, you get more defeated. The more you talk about weaknesses, the weaker you get, the more, or the weaknesses of others. You see them that way, and the aura just can come up around you. You can ruin relationships with your children, with everything, because you see all the bad. You know what I mean? And you have to say what, that's why it's so important to say the word of God. Or about your spouse. You know, or about, you know, and the pain you have, you know. It's just, it's not easy to not, you know what? It was easier for me to conquer cancer than it is to conquer something that's pain. Because I didn't feel the pain of cancer. That they said I had cancer and I didn't feel it. So that's why I took it out. I mean, it wasn't that far staged, but I didn't feel it. So, you know, but then the pain of something, like the knee thing, it's different. Because it actually stops you from thinking straight.
Yes, it does.
You know what that does to you? It makes your personality, it can make your personality different. All that pain can do that. So, I mean, that's why you got to speak. Oh, boy, you got to fight that when you're in pain. And sometimes you may have to tell somebody, I can't do this right now. I mean, there's certain things you can't. Okay, Proverbs 27:19. As in water, whoops, that's right. I've got it written down. As in water, face answers to face. You know, they didn't have mirrors, so they would go to a river and look in their reflection to see what they looked like. But then you get back up. It says, so is the heart of man to man, because you forget what you put in your heart by your words. And you're thinking, why is this happening? Or why does my heart feel this way? You could even gossip about somebody and then see that person, or somebody gossiped to you and made you feel you really liked them before, and now you're kind of going, all this ugly stuff. The devil tries to make us do this. It's the truth. Images are put into our spirit man by words. And words produce fear images, or they can produce faith images. Yeah. Actually, there's not much in between. Fear or faith. Now, this is the whole thing about it. Angels are listening to your words. So the words you speak should be your will.
Yeah, come on.
You know, you might say, well, that lousy husband of mine, you know, he don't plum, 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 plum. I'm not saying that you're going to say, I mean, we should, as Christian women, but people will. And you know what? He begins to act more that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that your will? Is that really what you want? Well, my kids, you know, my kids are just, you know, they don't blah, 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 blah. I've probably done it, right? You know, they aren't doing this and they aren't doing that and blah, 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 blah. Well, is that your will for them? See, what you speak about your kids or your spouse or other people should be your will or the will of God. Now, we're all designed in the likeness of God, in His image. Even people who aren't born again, they're in the image and likeness of God. And we shouldn't speak words that are not our will for them. And when the way you get angels involved in your affairs is to keep your words in line with God's word. That's how you do it. You know, the answer to most of our problems, and like I said before, is found 1 inch below your nose. Or depending how much thick, depending how far down your nose goes, it's your mouth. So, see, the key to, any key to prosperity and success, you know, talking about money that you don't have. Prosperity and success are in any area of life. Keep God's words in your mouth. you know, I've done this. Talking to myself here, always preaching to myself too. But anyway, we may talk right for a while. You know, you might, that's why you got to go back to everything.
Yes.
You may talk for right for a while, and then things start to go wrong, and we talk the problem over and over and over. And sometimes, like, fear will come into you because of something you heard, or, right?
Yes.
You know, and our anxiety. And stress, and then you feel like you have to talk it over. Well, maybe with one person, but then drop it. Speak what you want. Speak what you want. and that's not always easy. It's like if a husband, I mean, what if a husband's committing adultery? You know, and you've got to speak what you want. Whoa. Boy. Okay, Joshua 1:8, out of the Amplified. Yeshua. I had a dog named Joshua. Big black lab. Now, we could say, let's just call it, it says this book of the law. But we could say the book of the word of God. This is a command, shall not depart out of your mouth. Wow. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Well, what if you can't? I mean, sleep? You know what? You will. The word will be around in your heart during your sleep. Why do you do that? That you can observe and do according to everything that's written in it. Well, that means you're going to have to read the whole Bible. It is good to read the Old Testament. Now, we're living in the New Testament, and the epistles are instructions for the church. So, you need to get into especially. Whoops, cutting out a little. Okay, so you're meditating on the word day and night so that you can observe to do what is written in it when the rubber meets the road. Because then you're going to do what the book says, and you'll make your way prosperous. And then you're going to deal wisely, you're going to have wisdom, and you're going to have good success. Amen. You know, it says, have I not, the next verse even says, have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Okay, we used to go out, knock on doors, and every time we, right before we do, we'd pray this, verse 3 in Joshua 1. Put it up there. And then jump to verse 5 right after that. Okay. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you. Yes, it is. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just let's, you don't have to say, as I was with Mary Mart. So I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, be confident, and of good courage, and you will cause this people, and I put of living word, to inherit the land which I swore to give them. Yeah. Only you've got to be, it says it again, strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which I command you. All the word that I command you. Yes. Don't turn from it from the right hand or to the left. So that you can prosper wherever you go. And you know, we would say that. In fact, there was a song. Anybody else ever heard it? You probably did. Every place on which my foot shall tread has been given unto me, has been given unto me. No man shall be able to stand before thee. For it's given unto me, it is given unto me. It's more kind of like a Jewish beat. Yeah. Oh, man, we used to sing that at Word Outreach. Debbie knew me at Word Outreach in Omaha, ironically, and here she is. I love it. Now, I mean, all that, that's so good to even say that every single day. And he says it again. My goodness. He says three times in there, in that first passage, be strong and vigorous and very courageous. Do not tremble nor be dismayed. For I, the Lord, my God, your God, are with you wherever you go. Okay. So, you know what? Now, don't talk problems over and over. And because you start to get into doubt and fear and unbelief. And you know what? Those words bind your angels from working in your behalf. Okay, now I won't do too much more on this because it's about 8:17, but go to Psalm 103. You know what? Even talking about demonic spirits too much brings them on. It does. It literally will bring them on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Okay, I think I'm going to say it. my daughter, as you know that, she led us all to the Lord, but she was doing drugs. And then when she got born again, spirit-filled, and I remember I used to hear her, she had a bedroom in the basement, and she used to just be praying in tongues, interceding, the top of her lungs. you know, but she started, and then the spirit of seeing and knowing, or rather, word of wisdom, word and no, well, she was no discerning of spirits. I mean, she got that gift, but you know what? It began to okay. Then she went to Rhema, and she told me that, and you know. He had to go find housing with another student and stuff. They didn't have like a dorm there then. That was 1980. I still don't. But she said that her and this other girl would kind of like talk about what they were seeing constantly. And they would see angels too. But they were talking about it and talking about it. But the demonic realm, she said, I couldn't stand it anymore. And that girl was starting to get a little, see, her parents noticed it, and when they come to visit. And she's, Michelle told me, my daughter, Michelle, said, well, see, and I think when you take drugs, or your spirit becomes more open to that. Not everybody, but people have that gift, too.
Yeah.
But it has been more opened to it. I know that too, because I've talked to too many people about that. And she said, I started to say, God. Now she's the one. She literally got to take a trip with high school to the Grand Canyon. And she was on drugs, and she said, in the Grand Canyon, nobody was around. I left my whole group. And she said, I cried out to God at the top of my lungs. To get rid of it, to get rid of drugs. And she did. After that, someone met, you know, witnessed to her and so forth. But she could be, what happened was, she said, I asked God, I can't stand this, God. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see that stuff anymore. And he said, quit talking about it with your friend. It was that simple. And she told her too, and they quit, and it quit. I just thought I would add that in there. I don't know, that just kind of like, I've heard other people, you know, that they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, Psalm 103, you're there, I'm sure. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'm using King James. Everything that's in me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hey, what is your soul? And then it says, forget not all his benefits. Well, there's a lot of benefits you know, like you get benefits at work. We got the most benefits we can from God, right? Now, the angels are part of bringing those benefits in to pass in your life. So see, and God designed, now let's go to verse 20 first before I even say this. Go to verse 20 of Psalm 103 and use the King James. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening or listening unto the voice of his word. Mm-hmm. Okay, who is the voice of his word? Is it him talking?
Us.
It's you talking. You're saying the voice of his word. And the angels hear it. And then they go into action. So see, if God designed the angels to hearken, to listen to the word coming out of your mouth. And that, see, everybody always used to think, well, he goes to the angels and says the word, and then they go do. No, we have authority now on earth. And even when this was written, we really didn't then. But that's the way it works. Okay, so if we will get our mouth straightened out, get your mind renewed to the word of God, you're going to see a lot of things come to pass on earth that we thought would never happen in heaven. I mean, we thought only would happen in heaven. And of course, And you know, this is what I'm always talking about, is heaven on earth. Oh man, I need this sermon. But and you know all that. I mean, I've said it so many times. Even Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and he has established it, and his kingdom rules over all." Yes. Now listen to me closely on this. His throne is in heaven, right?
Yeah.
And his kingdom rules over all, right? A couple of little scriptures, and you don't have to put these up, but I wrote them out. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Then in Luke 17:21, it says, "Neither shall they say, lo, here's the kingdom, lo, there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you."
Amen.
Okay, his throne is in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Where is his kingdom? It's in you. Hey, rulers out there. Hey, kings. See, if you keep saying that, you start to realize it. You go, man, I got authority. I got rulership. Because Jesus came and died on the cross to restore what Adam had stolen, or rather, the devil had stolen from Adam. And what did he steal? Authority. And we got it back when Jesus died on the cross. But most of the time, this isn't taught, so people don't know it. And where is it? It's in us. You know what? Even like I've said before, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come," and it came, because Jesus came on the earth, died on the cross. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, well, what about, you know, Ephesians 1:3, too? It says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. But actually, I never knew what that meant until I heard another translation, which I got from Nancy Dufresne. And this is the I don't know what translation it is. One time I actually asked her, I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't know where. I lost it. It was probably when I was eating with her somewhere. Anyway, we are already blessed with everything that heaven already enjoys. We are already blessed with everything heaven already enjoys, because the kingdom is in us, and the kingdom rules over all. And the kingdom is in you. And how do you activate that kingdom of heaven? By God's words. Words. By God's words. You know what? So see, if we can just realize that, we're going to get, we'll check ourselves as soon as we get home.
Amen.
Right now. Okay. I'm not going to go on much further here. Because from our inner man comes words that either bring to pass God's will in our life, or they nullify God's will in our life. This is one of my favorite scriptures, was John 6:63. "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." His words are spirit and life. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, that right now, we take authority over the devil, and he will not steal it from us, the word that has been spoken. And we're going to, our angel's going to say, "Hey, no, don't say that." Say the word. And so, Father, I just thank you for the ministering angels. God, I thank you for the angelic protection that we have, God, the angelic protection our president has, the United States of America. We plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God, that it never, ever, ever returns void. It cannot, but will accomplish what we please and prosper in the thing for which we sent it. And Lord, we thank you that you hasten your word to perform it in our lives, God. We thank you, Father, and we bless every person in this place, Lord God. We bless them with joy, with happiness, with abundance, with fruitfulness coming from their lips, from fruitful marriages, fruitful bodies that are healed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, for all these things are already finished with abundance of finances, Lord God. Because, Lord, these are good people, and these people know where to put their finances, God, and they'll have excess and enough left after they give into the kingdom of God. Lord, there'll be more that they can have something for their own pleasure, because you love us so much. And we thank you, and we bless every person here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay.